body. We are from a combination of a number of activities, community work, constituency, holiday. But here today we are here. Our approach is that we are starting this. We will then go into the introduction of ourselves. On my left is Matalamba, the committee secretary. On the extreme right is Asanda. Who is ANC researcher? Next to him, it's to her, I'm sorry, it's Zubair, who is our research person in the committee section. Next to her, to him, is Lindokuhle. At the back is Moses, who's also part of the research team. Against the wall is Mbali, the committee assistant. Noltando, who is the Secretary of the Study Group of the African National Congress. I will then allow honorable members to introduce themselves. After that, it will then be the Office of the AG and our guests. And I think we have also got a for now, he is a guest when he introduces. When they introduce themselves, they will tell them who they are and where they are coming from. Well, I don't think there's any need to say the house rules. We are all familiar with that. I'll hand over to the honorable members to introduce themselves. Thank you.
Good morning. Dr. Susan Tembekaya, a member of Health Committee.
Committee Member Walmart James, good morning.
Good morning, the Committee Member Fish Masalela.
Good morning. I'm Matluban Zumar Chafta, a member of this committee.
Okay, Office of the AG. Morning, I'm Tabulum Sisinyani, Senior Manager, AGSA.
Morning, Joshua Aminga, Audit Manager at the AG.
Good morning, my name is Eddie Rakam from the FFC.
Good morning, Chair Members. Henry Eckstein, Finance Minister.
Good morning, Kumafani, PMG.
Well, thank you, honorable members and our guests. Without wasting any time, we have got apologies. Only one apology that has been submitted is that of Mr. Koza, who's a member of the Health Committee, but also a member of the Education. Basic education, so now he is the attention, so he's attending the basic education meeting. Koza, my apologies. I know there's no set in Swati, so. Okay. To you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. Before we start with the presentation, I would also like to apologize on behalf of our business executive and professor. We also have a number of the same meetings happening at the same time, so he's with the environmental affairs team. So that's why he's not here. Thank you, Chair and honorable members, for this opportunity. It is from the AGSA side, we appreciate it when we engage a lot with the oversight committee, because it allows us time to also engage with you on what's going on at health, and also to get your view on what we're doing as well as an organization. So we received an invitation letter to come and brief you on the outcomes of the interim review of the 17-18 APP, which we have already conducted, and I think it's already been tabled in Parliament. So the slides in front of you, I know there are a lot, but we won't really go through all of them because a lot of the information there is background information, information that I believe the committee is aware of, but we just included it in there to give context to the presentation that we have. So we start with our reputation promise as always, where we are saying as an organization, we exist to strengthen our country's democracy through enabling oversight, accountability and governance. And in this time, we are enabling oversight because we are assisting the committee to with its oversight role. The next slide then talks about the purpose of our briefing and the index. And the purpose of our briefing, like I indicated earlier, is to provide feedback of the outcomes from the interim review that we performed on the 17-18 APP of the National Department of Health. And our index shows that the first session will be an overview of the performance reporting process. Then we'll move over to the scope of the review itself, what we cover, what we look at. Then we'll look at the overview of the key changes that we note while we performing the review. Then we also include some few slides on the budget analysis. Then we have a section on the HSE improvement methodology, which I'll talk to when we get there. So as an organization, we also then improved our methodology in the current year, which is effective, in order to add value, and then we have a key recommendation for the committee. Looking at the overview of the performance process, this picture, I think we are all familiar with, it just shows the whole process that it's followed. So from the SDG, NDP, MTSF, then the department then comes to the strike plan, where they identify the desired impact, where, and then they then specify performance indicators that they would like to achieve. And then they have their APT and their budgeting where they set the targets and allocated the resources required to be able to meet the targets. Then throughout the year, they implement the objectives that they've planned for themselves. And then at the end, they then have an annual performance report, which we then come and audit at the end of the year and give a conclusion on it. So this is a cycle that happens like throughout every year, even though the structure is for a longer term. And as you see on the top of the graph, we have oversight, which is what the committee then is responsible for. The next slide, continuing to what I've said, it just shows that the APP then is informed by the MTSF, then the NDP, then the SDG goals. So it just shows that the APP, whatever is in the APP, is informed by specific documents that comes before. There's also a slide that comes in where the department indicated the alignment with the SDG, the NDP, and the MTSF together with their own plan. So we also look at that to say, when you look at their strat plan and the APP, is it really aligned to the NDP and the MTSF and the SDG? Because I think we have one goal to move forward, so we'd like the department to align their objectives to what's sitting in the MTSF and the NDP. So the next slide then is just shows the sectors that we look at as an office, with health falling under number 6, where we are saying the public health system cannot meet demand or sustainability. So what we then do, because we know we have a health sector, we look at the health sector and look at what value-adding activities can we perform, and can we look at as an organization to add value. And with the health sector, we are aware that we also have performance audit that I think last year they also released a report on pharmaceuticals. They also look at IT and all that. So when you look at the sector, we look at how can we assist the sector by value-adding activities that are over and beyond our normal auditing standards, where we are looking at different sections of the sector. We'll be saying, when we look at this section, where can the sector improve in order to add value to our country as a whole? And then moving to the APP, we, on a yearly basis, perform an APP review for the next year. So the scope of that review is that we try to present an early warning to management, because when you look at the outcomes, you look at usefulness and reliability. So with usefulness, usually if we don't provide an early warning, by the time they present their annual performance report, their findings that there's nothing they can do because the APP has been tabled and they've already implemented the objective. So what we do as an organization, we then say, we will look at your 17-18 APP before you even start implementing, so that we look at the usefulness and the measurable and the relevant, the measurability and relevance criteria, because we know if we don't look at it then, by the time we come and audit, it's too late for them to go back to the APP that has been tabled to change it. So the main purpose of this review is to give early warnings to the department to say, for this indicator, we think if you are going like this, we then have a finding in the following year. So that is the purpose of that review, to give early warnings on the measurability and relevance of the planned indicator and targets. Also, what we want to highlight is that it is just an interim review. So we do not give an assurance or opinion on that review, because we don't look at the detailed underlying systems or the supporting documentation. So we only look at a certain specific criteria, and then it's just a review. And only also, that review is not performed in the whole APP. So what we do is, when we receive an APP, we look at specific programs that we deem they'll be significant and with the probability of us selecting it for the next year. So when we look at, for example, the health APP, currently we reviewed program 3 and 5. Because when you look at it, we deem it significant, and there's a very high probability that when we audit in 2018, we will then select it. So only for those two programs do we then do the review. The rest of the programs, we do not review them. But then with the engagements we have with management, we then hope that the principle that comes out from the engagement, they will then apply them to the rest of the programs in the APP. So like I indicated earlier, we assess the process the department followed in preparation and submission of the APPs, such as an APP. We assess only the measurability and the relevance parts of the indicators and targets on the final draft. So the idea is, after we've assessed and we raise findings, then by the time they come and table it in Parliament, they have then made the necessary changes from our side. And then the findings that we raise, we communicate them on the 16-17 interim management letter. It does not affect the audit opinion, because we are looking at the section for the year ahead. So in the current year, we're auditing 16-17, so the findings we get on the 17-18 APP, it does not affect the conclusion in the current year because of the timing issue. So on the next slide, we're indicating then the criteria that we use. So I indicated that we look at the measurability and the relevance. In the measurability side, we look at that the indicators are well-defined. By well-defined, we mean that the indicators are clear and unambiguous definition, so that data can be collected. So when we look at the indicators that they present, we need to be able to, when we read them, we're not supposed to have two different opinions. By the time we read the indicator and I'm interpreting differently from the next person, then we say to them, then when you then review at the end of the day, we won't know which opinion to take. So we then say to them, your definitions need to be clear and unambiguous, and they need to be able to collect data consistently. Indicators need to be verifiable. So they need to have processes and systems in place to be able to identify to verify the indicators. And then the other criteria is targets are specific, measurable, and time-bound. By specific, we are saying the nature and the required level of performance can be clearly identified. Measurable, they must be able to measure the target. So they need to, if it's a percentage, they need to be able to say what is the numerator, what is the denominator. And then time-bound, it says there must be a time period attached to it, whether it's annually, quarterly, or monthly. The relevance of indicators and targets, all we are saying from organization, we are saying the indicators and targets in the APP need to logically relate to the mandate of the department. So when we look at the indicators there, we're just making sure that they do not include indicators that don't relate to them. For example, we don't expect to find maybe an indicator on bucket eradication system, which we know is part of the water portfolio. So we look at that. However, also, I think I will also highlight, because usually we'll then only look at the indicators and then ensure that they are within the department. So as part of the HSA improvement review, the slides to come, we're now also trying to look backwards to say, yes, for years we've been looking at the fact that are they including all indicators that relate to the department. So now what we look at the APP to say, this is what we know from the NDP, the MTSS, and the Strathclyde. Are there not some indicators that are missing in here that you must include? So that I'll explain further when I come to the audit methodology, because it's one of the improved methods that we have indicated. So earlier on there was a slide where I was talking about the SDG, the NDP and the MTSF. Because we look at that as well, what we really appreciated from the department side is they themselves, they've already done their alignment. So in their 17-18 APP, I think it's page 18 to 20, they have this picture where they are showing that the Sustainable Development Goal 3 and how it links to the NDP goals, how it links to the priorities, MTSF and the strategy. So for us, it was actually easier because we realized that the department was proactive and already showed the alignment. So in the next slide, we just then took a snapshot of what's currently sitting in the 17 APP, and then we included TM to show that the department has done this, and for us, we were happy, so we picked that up. So yes, so the next three slides are just a snapshot of what's sitting on the APP. Moving then to slide 15, in this slide, we are just showing that, like we said earlier, there's the NDP and MTSF. So health is under outcome 2 and there's that outcome. So in this slide, we're just showing that health has concurrent functions in the provinces. So there are a number of outcomes that for them to be successfully be implemented, they then rely on the provinces. So for some outcomes, the department is a policymaker of norms and standards, and the actual implementation then takes place in the provinces. So that's what we're trying to indicate on that slide, that is a concurrent function. So one other thing that we started doing in the current year, we acknowledge that there is a link between the SDG goals, the NDP, the MTSF, and the strategy. So what we did a step further this year, we then said we are going to look at the key objectives in the E&E versus the targets that they have in the APP. Because for every program in the E&E, there is a key objective and then it shows the budget that they have. So we then did an exercise. And with this one, we didn't only look at the two programs that we think are significant. We then look at all programs, 2 to program 6 of the APP to say, when you look at the key objectives within the E&E, do they then have a target to address that objective? Because then we'll show us that they are planning to utilize the fund to meet that objective. So that's the exercise we did, and I think it covers a number of slides, because we literally took each and every objective and we're meeting it against a specific target in the APP to make sure that they are planning to meet the required objective as stated in the APP. So in the slides, in the number of slides that we see following, we have on the left, the heading says key objective per E&E, which is a copy and paste there. Then we then took the target in the APP that's addressing that objective, and then we have a comment and observation. So on the right, when you see the green, we are saying the Department of Health, National Department of Health, has included a target that addresses that specific indicator. So I would want to draw the committee to slide 18 on my side, which has program 3. So what we then found out when we're doing that exercise is that there are certain objectives that do not have targets in the 17-18 APP. So what happened in the 17-18 APP, the National Department of Health made a decision to remove some indicators from the 17-18 APP, and these are the sector customized indicators. So what they've done, there's a slide coming which indicators are removed. When you look at the 16-17, the current year and the previous year, these targets were included in the APP, but then from 17-18, I think it's going to be onwards, those targets are not there. But however, those targets are now sitting with the provincial. So what would happen with the customized indicators? The provinces would have the indicators in program 2, and then the national would also have this exactly the same target and indicator in their APP. So from 17-18 onwards, the department has then started removing certain indicators out, and then they are still included in the APP. So that's the red when you look in program 3, where you see there's a key objective per A&E, and there's no target, and then there's a comment observation where we say it's been removed from the 17-18 APP. However, it's still included in the provincial APP. So that is for program 3. Program 3, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those targets that they have removed. And then program 4 and 5, all the objectives that we see in the E&E are included. And then in program 6, because there's a number of slides that you must go through. In Program 6, there is one that is not included, but when we look at the key objective, it directly relates to CCOD. So from our side, we then said that this would normally fit in the CCOD APP. So moving along to the key changes that we've noted in this review of the APP, firstly, we've noted that they've included new indicators. Program 3 has 11 new indicators and targets, and Program 5 has 6 new indicators. And the indicators that we've added is to enhance the monitoring role as a national department. We also then noted, as discussed, that they've then removed 27 indicators from Program 3. And those are the ones that we think they are still included in the provincial APPs. And those indicators now, our understanding is that they will then include them as an annexure in the APP because they still want to track the performance. So what used to happen with those indicators, they would, because they are implemented in the provinces, what NESHA would do would just consolidate the different achievements that the provinces are reporting, then they will have a consolidated view and then they'll report it as is. So I guess from 17-18 moving forward, those indicators will not be on the face of the APP, but will be an annexure of the APP. So like we can then listed the indicators that they have removed. For example, under child health, they removed measles second dose coverage, school grade 1 learner screened. Under maternal health, they removed neonatal death in facility rates, antenatal client start on AFT rates. Under HIV, they removed medical male circumcision performed and male condom distributed. Under TB, they removed TB client death rate. So these are the 27 indicators that are indicated that they have now been removed from the 17-18 APP. So when we audit, then those indicators will be part of it. And I also indicated that those are still part of, will be an extra, and they're still part of program managed in the provincial APP. And then the next slide is like 30, was just indicating the new indicators that we mentioned earlier, that they've added 11 under Program 3 and 6 Program 5. Those are the new indicators that the department has added. So we just wanted to highlight to the committee. So the next slide on annual targets, we had an engagement with the chair, with the acting chair, when we were presenting the interim. And one thing that she really requested us is to look at the annual targets that the department has and to check if they are being tracked. So we did that analysis as per the request, and that is the outcome. So for example, Program 2, they have 27 targets and only 2 targets are annual. So the request we received was to make sure, do they have quarterly milestones that they are able to track, to be able, so that when it gets to the end of the year, they start trying to meet the target at the end of the year. So that's the exercise we did. And so far, of the 13 targets that they have annual, only one target is actually tracked on a quarterly basis. So the other 12, there is no systems in place to track on a quarterly basis to be able to make sure that at the end of the year, they will then meet that target. So that's the information that was requested, which is presenting to the committee. The next slides are a budget analysis of the National Department of Health. So the slide 33 that shows the differences of budgets between 17-18, slide 34 that shows of the full allocation, how much is being transferred to provinces and how much is left to the government, with the national department, and how the national department is then splitting it: 23% on compensation of employees, and 26% payments for capital, and 50% on current payments. So this is just information of that we analyzed. And then on the slide 35, we just show the conditional grants to provinces, how are they split. 47% is for HIV, and it's an HIV and AIDS grant. And then 31% is National Tertiary Services grant. So then, the next section talks about the improved methodology. Chair, I did indicate when I started that the organization went through a process where we enhanced our current methodology. And it came about because the auditing standards keeps changing, and we also understand that the environment changes. An organization, we can't just stick to our old ways and hope that our old ways will still be relevant. Else, if we do not change with the changing environment around us, we might be irrelevant to the reason as an organization. So what the organization did is we have a department called the Audit and Research Development Unit that is responsible for our methodologies and organization. So there was a lot of research and consultations that took place, because this took place over a three years period, where they were looking at our current methodology and with the changes in the environment and the changes in the auditing standards, and then they upgraded, they improved our current audit methodology. So some of the new things that were still coming through is usually would always say we are the regulatory auditors, and then there's the specialists like the IT. So now we integrate because we are one team auditing one department. So everyone, there's also a formal approach and repeat disclaimers, and it also allows for full support for full integration between the financial reporting, the performance information compliance, because the three areas of audit are very interlinked. So some of the benefits that come through, and I'm going to highlight a lot of the sections that maybe the committee might be aware of. So our reporting, for example, on the audit of program objectives, we used to have a reporting on usefulness separate from reliability. But however, we realized that the two are actually interlinked. Most of the time, the moment we say in a specific indicator that this indicator is not useful, for example, that we can't measure it, the overall impact is that then you can't then, it's not, it can't be reliable, because if it's not measurable, then how can we rely on that? So that's one of the things. So now with that change came that when we then report, we have a single conclusion on both usefulness and reliability. Also, what you will start seeing coming through on the audit report, the findings will be listed per indicator. So usually we used to have a program and was probably saying this number of, this percentage of indicators in this program have been misstated. So now what you start coming through, you start looking at a longer audit report if the auditee, if the department has more findings. That now specifically shows you as the user of the document that these are the indicators that have problems. So then it will also assist then with oversight. Then you know these are indicators you must focus on for the department to then look at. Those are the two I wanted to highlight, because those are the two that will actually sit in front of you as a committee. Also, what happens, we used to have what we call a dashboard, where we used to put smiley faces, I'm not sure if the group is aware, of the control environment. That also has been updated with the methodology. So this slide here is just an example of how it will start looking like. One thing that we really now encourage is, instead of the audit team engaging the department towards the end of the audit, we then engage them earlier on, and then we also give them already awareness or red flags where we think that by the end of the year we'll have problems. So then we have to, our engagements with our department will then be increased. For example, if you look at the status of record review, will then consist of proactive follow-up procedures, and then we'll have financial and non-financial information. So on the left where we have the blocks, these are just examples of procedures we will then do when we do the follow-up procedures, where we'll say, we'll look at the status of the key focus areas that we have, looking at last year, and then let's say, for example, when you go in and audit interim, then we'll do that snapshot to see from the audit opinion that we've given and where you are at interim, where are you, and highlight the sections that they need to focus on. We also will be assessing their commitments. Let's say, for example, at interim, to say this is what you have committed at the end, you do as a department, how far are you? So those are the engagements that now are coming through, so that we don't come at the end of the year and give them a shock of the outcome. So we will engage them throughout. And then we will then have on the right, this is an example of how the feedback would look like. We'll then say, for example, in financial health, you have regressed. In oversight monitoring, it's either unchanged. So the smiley faces we used to have in dashboards will fall away, and this will be now our new reporting. And the emphasis in the fact that we then them more, and we gave them earlier before the actual audit opinion. So from our side, the one key recommendation with the exercise that we raised is that we would really recommend that as a committee, then you establish a process where you would now be able to track those indicators, because we've indicated that there's 27 indicators that now the department has removed from the APP and an extra. So now our recommendation was that the committee then establish a process of being able to still track those indicators, because those indicators are now sitting at the provinces, and the conclusions or the opinions with those indicators will be sitting in the different provinces. For example, if it's antenatal first visit, you might find that maybe Limpopo, for that indicators, they are qualified, Free State it's not. So you won't have that overview anymore of that indicator. So the conclusions will now be sitting separate. So from our side, that's one thing that we're recommending to say, that how do you now get that view and the different opinions of the different indicators. Chair, thank you. I think that was the end of our slide. And then,
thank you very much. We will then now, honorable members, welcome. We will now allow questions from members. Any takers?
No, thanks very much, Chair, and let's welcome the presentation and the analysis by the AG's office. I just want to get your own understanding on just a few issues, AG, in relation to the APP. One issue that has been always a worrying factor on our side is the correlation between expenditure and performance. And it has been always worrying us, because you'll find there's no correlation of the two, of the performance and expenditure. And we've been raising this thing year in and year out. There seems to be no improvement. And it has been, some of us, a view that it means the problems start here, the APPs, in terms of the planning process. Because if we have put more target that doesn't correlate with the budget, the likelihood is that we are going to spend the whole budget, but you are going to achieve half or three-quarter of what you have planned. Therefore, it means the planning itself or the APP then become misleading in a way. Because the expectation is that if you've got, you spend 100%, is that you must perform 100%. But in most cases, there's a huge discrepancy of the two. Find 99.9% and only 60% performance, or even far less than that. That's what creates a problem for us. And we are still not getting an explanation why it's like that. I'm not sure whether you have made that analysis and you've made that observation. And if you did, what have you seen as a challenge? And what is that needs to be done going forward to address it? Any of you? That's one. Two, these targets that are now annexures, which are said to be sitting somewhere in provinces. I've looked some of them. This process is to pass a budget. And that budget is not sitting with provinces, because provinces got their own budget. This is budget that is going to be passed by us here at national level. Therefore, we've got the responsibility to ensure accountability on the expenditure and the usage of that budget. How then do we monitor that without linking with performance? If those performances are sitting somewhere. I'm raising this in the context, for example, the bulk of the budget for HIV and AIDS is conditional grant, is going to be passed by us, and therefore managed by the national department and transferred to provinces. But the performance in relation to that conditional grant budget is not here in the APP. How does that work? I don't understand it. If you can just clear it for me, because I don't understand. Why do you have a budget that is with the national department, but it doesn't correlate with the performance? Because performance are said to be lying somewhere in provinces, but the money is with them. And they're supposed to transfer that money from time to time. Then the third issue that confuses me is when you read, I don't know whether there's any correlationship between when you read the APP of the department. I'll just take one example in program 3. One of the issues that are in that program 3 is the full implementations of full streams of primary health care, re-engineering, which is municipal ward-based primary health care teams, integrated school program, is written there as part of the purpose of the program of the department in page 42 of the APP. That's the purpose of that program, that they must implement, not monitor. They don't say it's for their responsibility, it's monitoring. It says full implementation of that program. But the performance is now, it's not here now. It's not here, the performance. But the purpose of this program is the full implementation of this re-engineering primary health care, which include municipal ward-based, the ward teams, and then your integrated school and the district clinical health. But they are no more in their performance. How does that happen? Well, I'm going to raise it there, but I just want to get what is your view in relation to that, because performance must relate to the purpose of why the program exists. And they've written why the program exists, but you go to performance, what the program exists for is not there under performance. So I don't understand it, because I was trying to understand it. I don't. That's where I will answer.
Thank you very much. I wanted to ask a question about unfunded mandates when it comes to who runs and who finances clinics. So you would know that clinics, constitutionally clinics, are the responsibility of provinces. But because of legacy issues, I mean, cities have run clinics in the past. Cities have continued to run clinics because it's the right thing to do. And that's all of our metros. They run clinics, and many of them are not financed by the provinces, but they're financed through ratepayers. So it's an unfunded mandate. Have you identified that there's an issue, and how do you propose to fix it? I mean, I think that the solution lies in the best interest of the patient or the user, right? So if cities can run clinics better than provinces. The city should run it, but then the provinces have to pay for it. Otherwise, you're going to have ratepayers paying for it, which is not right. But if provinces run clinics better, then provinces should run it and they should pay for it. So, but could you explain to me whether you've identified that as an issue and whether there's an effort together between the AG and essentially the financing vehicle, which is Treasury, to solve that problem?
Sorry, but there's one minute that I forgot. Is there a reason maybe, or is too much work for you only analyzing the APP of the department and not its entities? Is it too much work or it's not necessary? But I would have thought that the analysis should be brought towards the video. At the end, when you do audit, you do audit everything, including the entities. But when these analysis are of the APPs and not what the entities are excluded.
Thank you, Chair. page 39, the status of key focus areas. This is like doing the same thing over and over again and having the same results. Is it because there are no consequences that is the same thing over and over again? There are no changes. In fact, it's even in certain aspects, there is a notable regression. Now, what would the AG suggest we should do with this? We see what is happening, and we talk about it, nothing happens. We should try and find out what can be done to remedy this. Because it must be remedied, and the remedy must be found jointly between us and you, because it's not us who are doing this thing, it's somebody else. And then we can bring that third party to the table and say, look, if you don't do A, B, C, and if you don't see any improvement, there will be consequences. And these are the consequences. I think bureaucracy spells everything that must be done, how it must be done, when and with who, and chain of reporting. And if that chain is broken, then there is no bureaucracy. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Chair. Just two questions. I think the rest have been covered by Honorable Mashalek. If you say you are doing something, you've changed your methodology, I just want to check in this, can I, Honorable Mashalek, myself? If you say you have changed your methodology, which means it's fine, but I want to just check from you that in the institution, do you have personnel that have got expertise of the sector? I'm raising this because I'm of the view that it's supposed to be like that, because this sector is such a complicated sector. If you go and conduct an audit, let's talk about infrastructure, make an example. If there's been correctly planned, there's human resource, not only walls, but human resource, equipment, and whatever. Somebody will then be able to pick up. But secondly, I'm just saying it may be a minor thing. For instance, mothers, when they go for vaccination or whatever treatment, their children cards in the current system are being taken home with them. And as auditors, you wouldn't understand that, because you want to see, as much as a health a person in the staff will say, no, this is what we do. So I'm raising that. And I think I need to be more clear, because as you go on, you find that really this sector is quite a complicated sector. I think Honorable Mashalela has really touched on what I didn't want to say it after you have submitted, that you are silent on entities completely, and that is quite a problem. The last one is, in your view, is that you are recommending that we should establish a process that will enable us to track the performance of the indicators, with an understanding that you understand that in terms of the constitution's concurrence, we have been conducting an oversight. I'm making an example. We've picked up some of the things. We refer them back to provinces. We took them to the department. Department will make a follow-up report. In this, that is quite really shocking in my view, that the department now is taking out some of the two provinces, understanding that there is then this challenge. I would have thought that maybe it's not in your mandate, you will highlight the dangers of doing that. You'll highlight the challenges, the weaknesses, or the potential of improving the system. But as I was saying, it borders into the challenges of the concurrence you're adding more. In fact, now our oversight mechanism, are you suggesting that we really have to completely change it? But I would have thought that you'll make a proposal for the committee on behalf of Parliament to look into that and say, because of these changes now, this is what we are proposing. I thought those are the issues that we are looking to. Honorable James has raised something that also is quite a challenge, because we know that majority of the services in all provinces in the municipalities have been taken to provinces, which is called provincialization. As you have been doing the audit, have you not picked up any impact? That's why I'm asking the first question, that you have people in the institution that have got hard expertise, because some of the things, they will need a person. I'm not undermining your skills or whatever, but it will need that a person that has got that extra eye of picking up that because of this, so that as we move along and look into, we will then be able to pick those up. I thought that those are the few questions and comments. We'll hand over to you to respond.
Thank you, Chair. And I think, like I indicated when I started, that the one reason why we appreciate this engagement is that we also learn as an organization on how we can assist in adding value. With the questions raised, I will not really go according to the order, because some of them I feel I can answer them together. There was a question raised on the correlation between expenditure and performance, raised by the Honorable Member. Currently, we do not perform that exercise where we actually look at the correlation between the expenditure and the performance. When we look at how we look at, we actually are then giving an opinion that whatever, or and a conclusion that whatever the entity has disclosed in the annual performance report is the exact representation of what took place. However, I believe if that's to add value, I believe it's something that we can also look at, because when we receive the annual performance report, we have the spending and we have the actual performance, which is what's achieved or not. What I can say there is it's something that we would have to look into as an organization, but currently we're not doing it. We don't do that comparison. We only look at the fact that the annual performance report is an exact representation of what took place throughout the year. So it's one one comment that I can take. I will take back, and then we'll then look at how do we then assist the committee in then when we give feedback towards the end of the year, where we are able to say this was the budget, this is how they spend versus the achievement that is sitting on the APP. That's one that we'll take back to the organization, and we will make sure that when we come back and give feedback of the audit outcomes, we have also a slide that gives that detail. And then there was then a question where you raised, I think the other question was the purpose of what sitting in paragraph 3 does not talk to the performance that's sitting on the indicator of the target. Our understanding is that when we look at the papers, because then they receive the grant themselves, then they will then explain the purpose of the whole program. However, because like you indicated that the money then gets transferred to provinces, then the performance that we see then in program, especially with the removal of the indicators, they then are trying our understanding that since they move then the money to provinces, that's why then they are removing, I think it's also as partly used to say, then that's why they are then removing also those indicators and targets, because from our understanding is that they're saying they actually don't have control on the implementation that actually takes place in the provinces. So, because what they do as a department, they just then consolidate whatever the province is saying, this was our achievement. So, when you look at our, this is the purpose, yes, because as part of the allocation, it's let's say, for example, if the one is talking about 7%, however, with the implementation, because of concurrent functions, the implementation then moves to the provinces, and that's why when you look at the performance, you then, with the 78 in APP, you will then see only indicators they're saying is the chart department that they then have control over. All the indicators that they feel the provinces have control over with implementation, and that's the reason why the transfer money they then remove. That's our current understanding of that. There was a question on analyzing the APPs of the entities. Currently as an organization, we focus only on departments. However, if we then get a request from the committee to also do perform a review on entities, we do that. So currently we hadn't received any request to do the interim review of the entities, but should the committee feel that you would like the organization to do that, we can do that. We can perform an interim review of the entities APP. So I don't know if I'm going to take that as a recommendation from the committee that we would actually, or a request that we do the interim review of the APPs of the entities. Going forward, we can start doing that. That is so within our mandate. There was a question on the question that Honorable James raised. We currently haven't looked at that process. So I think we would then have to go back and discuss with, because we are the auditors of the national department. So with the provinces, there is other auditors, part of our organization that. So we then have to engage with them, because from the national department we haven't looked at it, and we then have to engage with our provincial auditors to check if they have done that, and possibly then maybe write back to the committee or the update. And linking to what the chair was asking about personnel, we do have a unit, they normally call themselves performance auditors, where in that unit they then appoint infrastructure experts. We've got also a doctor that we've just appointed as well. So what then happens is when they then go to provinces to audit, they go with those experts. For example, with infrastructure planning, I think somewhere in March, when they present the sector, there were the guys who came in to present to say, this is what we did with that. So the organization has appointed experts in the specific fields, and we also have the specific medical doctor that we've now appointed that assists the teams when they go to facilities to audit, because like you rightly indicated, we don't have the knowledge of the sector, even though we have the auditing background. So we currently do have experts. And you also raised the point about the patient carrier, submit documentation and all that. It is one of the discussions that the organization we are going through. We had a session, a 10-by-10 session with the department, where it was all provincial representatives plus our auditors. And it's one of the things that has come up and is we are discussing. So currently we are having sessions with the department to say we understand the process that, for example, vaccination, the mother takes it home. So then we are engaging with the department to say, as auditors then, how do we still satisfy ourselves that this has taken place? What other documents does the facilities keep? What are the other documents the facilities keep that we can look at as auditors instead of then going to the facility and demanding, for example, a clinic card or a vaccination card from them? So that process is taking place. We are working on it. We have had engagement. We are hoping to conclude soon, but it's one thing that we did raise to say, with the knowledge of the sector, sometimes as auditors, we go to the facilities and request for documents that actually they don't have. So we are working on that process. I hope, hopefully by the next time we come back, we'll tell you to say this is the final conclusion and we'll move on. Because currently the proposal that we have is to look at the registers that the clinics keep or the facilities keep instead of then requesting document that they don't have. So we have identified that and we with the discussions with the department and the provinces on that. There's a task team that is working on that together with the medical doctor that's assisting us with that. And I hope I don't forget a question. There was a comment that was raised on consequence management. And I think, like you rightly so, with us an organization, with the current mandate as we have, we can only audit and then come and report. And what we do, like with the slides that you referred to, we, with the improved engagement that we have, we hope to influence the relevant leaders in the organization to be able to say when we then raise findings, so our findings come with recommendations. We then with this engagement that we indicate that we'll have a lot of them, we hope that in those engagements and when we remind them to say, remember this was the recommendation that we indicated on the interim letter or the final letter, and because with what happens with every finding that we raise, we have a recommendation, and they also have a response from management where they commit to say, for this finding that you have raised, this is what we are going to do. So with the engagements we have, that we have interactions, we say to them, you had an action plan in our specific finding to say this is what you will do in order to deal with the findings that have been raised. So with the engagement, that's when we keep track and keep reminding them and I guess engaging with them, encouraging them to assist consequence management. And I think, like we said to the committee, we can only always keep engaging and encouraging and hoping that, like you keep saying, hoping that one day the people responsible for taking action with anyone that transgresses actually do that. But from our side, I think that's the best that we can do to continue engaging and keep them on track. And like we said, keep them feedback on the focus areas to say, you are still a red in this area, you are still a red in this area. And we hope with the engagements that we have, there will then be an impact at the end of the day. I'm trying to check if I missed a question. Is there a question that I missed? Is there a question that I missed? I'm not sure whether you're asking me. Asking the chair and the members if there's a question that I did not respond to. I see a hand.
Is that a question of clarification on the earlier response? If I can put that, would you look at between the provinces auditing capacity and yours, would you look at all unfunded mandates, please? Because clinic is one, but medical interns is another. What happens is that the national department says the following must happen. You need to place 1,200 or whatever medical interns in hospitals, and then the provinces have to pay for it. Then the provinces scramble for the money because they didn't budget for it. That delays the process. That's just one example, but all unfunded mandates, please. Between national and provincial, and between provincial and city and metro.
From my side, okay.
Just a follow-up. If that's the in understanding that because the money gets transferred, therefore there should be no performance indicators, why then do you have to approve it here? What are the implications of us proving a budget that doesn't have a performance indicators? must we approve something that cannot be accounted for? Because that's what the key table means. We're approving a budget that the department will not be made to account of. Then why should it be like that? Because provinces got their own budget. So that money, nobody's going to account for it. Because it's not in the budget, it's not in the budget of a provincial department. And therefore, the legislature is there. They can't hold them accountable. We can't hold the national department accountable because there's no performance indicators. I don't understand it. Yeah, well, maybe they will explain to us when they're here, but I don't understand it.
Yeah, I think that's a very profound question. It's a very profound question. Maybe we still have to take that forward with the department. It's the first time I'm trying to recall that when the AG comes, entities are not audited. There's no report on the because remember, these entities, they get money from the National Department of Health. And if you say we must request it, we've never requested, we've always been given. I'm subject to correction from members, but that has always been my understanding, is that each and every presentation you do, because remember, as we are to approve this budget, but how are we going to approve a budget when we don't know how they have performed? I want to, on behalf of the committee, I don't know, you are putting us in a very difficult situation because we are preparing for our budget vote. And in our budget vote, among other things, your presentation is to assist us. Now the department is coming here tomorrow. How are we going, I'm sorry, yeah, tomorrow. How are we going to ask questions from the department when we don't have a view and an understanding of the performance of its entities? So I want to make I don't know whether it's really going to be relevant, but let me not make any recommendation until I interact with the committee at some point during the course of today and be advised on how they're doing forward. I think it's one of the areas that is a bit great from the presentation that you have made. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Can I please then obtain clarity? Because my understanding is that when we say we don't review, we're talking about the interim review of the year coming and not of their performance. Because usually when we then audit them at the end of the year, the performance report, when we come, I think it's towards October, we do have the performance of the entities as well. It's just for the early warning that we do, the interim review of the 17-18 APP. That was the process that we don't do. So I don't know if Chair is referring to the same process. Because the process I'm referring to is for the interim review that we do now for the 17-18 APP. We usually then don't review for the entities. So I don't know if Chair, you're referring to the same process.
Well, I'm referring to, can I be assisted by honourable members? I think even the latter one that we're referring to, we have always been getting that report of that process. Myself and the secretariat were really saying no. It's usually been that. It's the first time that we come to this school. Well, maybe we're subject for correction, honourable members, any assistance, because they are insisting that they don't do it. They only end up with the department. Honourable.
No, they're right, Chair. They've not been doing the analysis of the APP. They've been always presenting the annual performance, the annual report of both the department and the entities in October, November. We're not doing the PRRR process. They've never came to present what is their analysis of the APPs of various entities in terms of whether they're measurable, whether they are achievable and all those things, their usefulness and all those stuff. They've never done that. But at the end, in the annual performance report, they will come and say, you know, this is not measurable, it's not useful, and what, and all those things. But they've not been presenting such an analysis for the APPs of the entities as the AG. They only come in October to deal with all the health sectors in terms of the performance.
They had a proposal then. They had a proposal to the committee. Can we get a response from that proposal? Because it is that proposal, it's that question.
That is, they must do the holistic analysis. As I asked the question, whether is it because of the capacity on the part of the AG in terms of personnel that they won't be able to do that analysis? Because it will be good to have a comprehensive analysis of the entire department, including its entities, so that at least when we meet with entities as well, we are able to have a view that is coming.
So you are agreeing that in moving forward, that is what then needs to be done. Okay. Thank you very much. I think that comes to the end of our proposal. Of our presentation. And we will just take a 3 minutes leg stretch. Just to allow the next presenter to prepare for their presentation. Thank you very much. You are welcome to stay and listen to them.